It's a healthy audio treat. Radio MD presents Family Food Kitchen with Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Fibromyalgia. Man, oh man, so many people struggle with it these days. They struggle to get up in the morning. They struggle for enough energy to get through the day. They struggle keeping up with your family and friends, and they struggle how to feed themselves. They're just tired of struggling all the time. Well, thank heavens we have Dr. Louise McGrindle here today, who's going to help us figure out how to stop the struggle, how to manage fibromyalgia. She's written an amazing book called The Complete Fibromyalgia Health Diet Guide and Cookbook. Yep, you'll learn how to feed yourself with her as well. So, welcome to our Family Food Kitchen, Dr. McGrindle. It is just mind-boggling when everywhere I turn, someone has fibromyalgia. In fact, my daughter has fibromyalgia, so there we go. I need your help. Why are so many people struggling with it? What happened?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. I think a big part of what's gone on is that people have been suffering for a long time, and it's often gone misdiagnosed and misunderstood. I think, in particular, we've even seen statistics that a lot of men have been missed based on how they used to diagnose it. They were negative on the criteria, although they were suffering. I also think there's been a lot of stigma with fibromyalgia, where people have been told it's in their heads and it's not real because, like the traditional lab tests, nothing has shown up kind of conclusive to diagnose it. So I think a lot of people have suffered in silence. We also know that there's a big combination of factors involved in the development of fibromyalgia, which include both genetic but also environmental factors. And obviously, as our environment changes and we get more and more exposures, we start seeing more of these kind of conditions develop.
You know, that's so, it rings bells in my mind when I hear environmental factors. I think people are beginning to be, to wake up to the fact that the chemicals that they're breathing and that they're coating their skin with have a negative impact. And then we need to get back to some more natural living. But it sounds like you would attribute the increase of fibromyalgia with the increase, I may be putting words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, with the increase of the use of all these chemicals. For instance, you have to plug something in your wall now to make your room smell nice. Really?
Yeah.
So is that a fair alignment of this increased use of chemicals and the increased suffering from my fibromyalgia? What is fibromyalgia anyway? Fibromyalgia. I'm asking you two questions in one. Go for it.
Yeah. So, well, in terms of the first question, I think that's part of it. I also think we're starting to get a better handle on the diagnosis of fibromyalgia.
Right.
And it typically tends to affect people that are really, really driven, high-achieving individuals. So I think when they develop this, a lot of times people just try to push through and really struggle without a diagnosis. So I think part of the increase in its prevalence has to do with just starting to actually diagnose it properly now.
Right.
And part of it has a lot to do with the environment. So I think it's a combination of effects there. But definitely the environment.
Sounds fair enough. Fibro is fiber. Myalgia, what is myalgia so people understand?
So fibromyalgia is, it's pain in widespread pain. You feel it in the muscles. You feel it upper and lower body, both sides of the body. So it's basically an inflammation in the body that's causing pain head to toe, both sides of your body.
All right, that clears it right up, and I think a lot of people can identify with that. So let's get to how we can solve this. I'm going to ask you just a rundown of the top five guidelines, food guidelines, because we focus on food in our kitchen.
Absolutely.
That would make a difference and improve your condition.
Absolutely, and I think food is such an important place to start because it's the foundations. It's what we put in is what comes out in terms of our ability to function. So, first of all, I think when you're dealing with a condition like fibromyalgia that's causing debilitating fatigue and quite a bit of pain, a lot of people are not eating regularly. So they're not able to wake up feeling refreshed. They're often not eating till noon or 1 p.m. So basically making sure to eat and eat regularly is extremely important. In terms of what you actually put in your body, reducing the inflammatory foods is very important. So that would be reducing foods that typically tend to cause more inflammation in the body. So nightshades would be some. So that would be red peppers, potatoes, tomatoes. So typically healthy foods, but they do cause more kind of inflammatory processes. refined sugars, gluten can be quite inflammatory, dairy products can be quite inflammatory. So those are some examples. Processed meats, red meat, those types of things often we say are a good idea to kind of reduce in the diet or take out altogether. I think it's extremely important to plan ahead so that you're not spending too much time on your feet, either grocery shopping or prepping meals. So the book has a lot of ideas on kind of meal planning and also just doing it in a really kind of effective way so that you're not having a huge amount of prep time, because that in and of itself can be really taxing on an already debilitated body. Reducing sugar and kind of those quick sources of energy that people often go to when they don't have any energy, because that later leads to big crashes in energy. And increasing protein with every meal. And I think the other thing that's really important is to pace yourself with trying new recipes so that it's not overwhelming. Maybe taking one really great new recipe a week and just working with that. And then really going easy on yourself. Kind of you do what you can do for the situation you're in. So you do your best for the situation you're in and you try to make these changes, but you have to do so in a way that you're forgiving with yourself as well.
Well, it all sounds so easy, but I know it's not. And so I want to get back over this just a little bit. You talk about nightshades and bell peppers. What would you name the rest of them? Because it's so confusing for people because they understand that's supposed to be healthy foods. And for people suffering from inflammatory conditions, especially fibromyalgia, that's not so. So
yeah,
nightshades are probably a surprise to a lot of people. Could you go through that list, please?
Absolutely. So nightshades are the first thing. So in terms of, I'll start with vegetables. In terms of vegetables, in general, vegetables are fantastic. Obviously very healthy. The ones that you have to be a bit more cautious with are the nightshades. So that would be potatoes, tomatoes, red peppers, eggplant, mushrooms. Those types of foods tend to be more inflammatory as a general rule. Not for everyone, but as a general rule in the body. So those would be good things to try eliminating and focusing instead on all the other vegetables. Everything out of the nightshade category is still fine.
All right. So sweet potatoes would be included in that list.
Sweet potatoes are actually okay.
Oh, thank you.
Sweet potatoes are actually okay.
I love those.
Yes.
It makes me sad to have to give up tomatoes and mushrooms, though. I think they're two power foods. I can deal with the red bell peppers.
Yeah.
But mushrooms, that would be really bad. But I sound like that's the thing I need to give up. Now, I don't have fibromyalgia, but I don't want to deal with inflammation, so I'm taking awareness of that. Refined sugar is an obvious one. I think people get it. There is no good reason to eat refined sugar, period, and here's just another one of those.
Yeah.
Gluten may not surprise people because there's such an awareness now of wheat and wheat intolerance. Dairy may surprise some people, not me so much, but explain why dairy is an issue here.
Well, dairy for a lot of people have trouble breaking it down. They don't have the right digestive enzymes. Their bodies don't quite know what to do with it, and in turn, that can cause a lot of kind of these digestive symptoms, which can then trigger inflammation. It's also very damp forming, and fibromyalgia, that's kind of more from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, but dairy is very damp, and fibromyalgia tends to be very damp conditions. So.
Now, does that dairy include all dairy from even goats, or is that you pretty much focus on cow dairy?
Cow's dairy is probably the one to focus more on, but in general, yes, the goat as well would come out. But cow would be the first one to start with.
All right, and then you mentioned processed red meat, so we have this list. But the good news is that you've got a fabulous book called The Complete Fibromyalgia Health and Diet Guide and Cookbook. Sorry, it's called The Complete Fibromyalgia Health Diet Guide and Cookbook. You can find that on probably in Amazon.com, lots of places, but certainly go to RobertRose.com and you'll find more about Dr. Grindel and her work. Thank you so much for being with us. We all need to read this book because I think inflammation is an issue and we could all benefit from reading it. And all the cookbook, the wonderful opportunities for meal planning and great simple recipes that won't take a lot of time. You will find this podcast and others on Radio MD. So if you want to listen to it again, share it with friends, be sure and go and look for it. And in the meantime, we just thank you for being with us in our Family Food Kitchen.